Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany, where naturally minded women gather together as we pursue simplicity and confidence in health alternatives so we can show up better in our busy lives and feel more at home in our bodies. Join your favorite home birth midwife duo for conversation, candor, and community.
Welcome back, ladies. You are at home with Kelly and Tiffany.
I am Kelly.
And I'm Tiffany.
And here we are. We are talking about a very important topic today, preeclampsia, things that you can do that are in your control to help decrease your potential for developing it in pregnancy and in postpartum. So we're going to dive into all of that information. If you have no idea what I'm actually saying right now, this episode is going to be great for you. But if you're somebody who's, you know, dealt with this in the past or concerned about it for your future, this episode will hopefully be a very empowering and encouraging one.
Yeah, because I mean, again, like we've talked about this before on the podcast, but like the idea of preventing a major maternal disease process, who do we think we are?
How dare we? Now, I'll just preface this all to say, we're not necessarily giving you medical advice, and we're not saying that if you follow everything that we say, there's 100% chance of you not developing this thing. But it is what we have seen be an incredibly powerful protocol and encouragement, and just giving you a helpful view of like what you can control is worth putting the effort and control into.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. I want to read a review because it's very thoughtful and personal. And you guys know, like, I just love the details. I love learning about the person leaving the review as we're reading it, because it just, we've said this before, not a lot of back and forth on the podcast.
It's a lot of forth.
It's a lot of forth. This is one way we get to hear from you guys, and we're reminded that it makes an impact and that it's really helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, we really require it to keep moving forward.
Please keep doing it.
Okay, so the title of this review is Truly Life-Changing, and it was left by handle Psalm 42:1, and she says, I just want you to know I re-downloaded Apple Podcast on my phone just so I could leave you a rating and review.
Oh.
And I appreciate knowing that, because that took twice as much time to leave the review.
Yep.
I would not have done it.
No, I've been like, I'll just keep listening and like it. From afar.
Oh, darn. I'm sorry. Like, I listen on Spotify and I can't leave the rating. Sorry.
Too bad. So sad.
Someone else can do it. She says, that's how much I love this podcast. And thank you so much. We love that you did that. It is now my go-to for pretty much everything health related. What I love the most about it is that while Kelly and Tiffany give you a wealth of information, they also present very practical and simple steps that you can take a piece, they might say, and implement slowly in your own life. My husband makes our own soap, detergent, deodorant, and toothpaste, and I make a lot of our foods from scratch, so I just receive so much encouragement and affirmation from what is shared on the podcast. If only I could get my hubby to embrace liver consumption. Yes.
He's one step away. It's not far.
Your husband is making deodorant for you guys.
He's going to eat liver before you know it.
At some point, that man is eating liver.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on, probably the most obvious lifestyle change that I've implemented is seed cycling. I started doing this while postpartum with my second baby, a home birth, by the way, and I saw my cycle go almost immediately from a very irregular 25 to 33 day range to a healthy 28 day cycle. You've heard it a lot before, but seed cycling really changed my life. Thank you so much for all you do, and looking forward to other lifestyle changes in the future. Claire.
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 Thank you.
Claire, I'm buying you a drink.
Yeah, we are.
You tell me that you heard us read this review on our show, and I will buy you a drink ASAP.
I love hearing feedback when women implement something that's not like, oh, my life entirely, like I had to up, you know, like change everything about my life. Just implemented one thing where she was like, oh, and then immediately I saw like this impact. It's pretty cool.
And the seed cycling again for the win. I mean, it is just like, it's just taking the trophy every single time.
100%. It's one of my faves for sure. Okay, so we were talking about preventing preeclampsia today. Before we do that, I wanted to give a little shout out to a wonderful mother friend of ours who makes incredible skincare stuff that I just feel like I use it. It's pretty much the only skincare stuff that I've been using recently. And my skin is just so happy. I'm happy to give it to my kids because I know it's clean and safe. All of that good stuff. I can pronounce all of the ingredients inside of it, except whenever I have something that has jojoba oil in it, we really enjoy saying
the jojoba oil.
That's really interesting, Kelly.
So there you go. But you will find her at Hardy Habitat. So she's hardyhabitat.com. She's also on Instagram. We don't make any money from sharing this. I just want to share that I love it so much. So we do have a code, BEAUTIFUL1, to get you 10% off. There's tallow balms, skin cream, face scrubs, baby cream. She has loose leaf teas even. So all of them are like very simple ingredients, but just beautifully packaged and thoughtfully made. And we just love her.
Yep, absolutely. And also just enjoy supporting other women-owned businesses, other home birth mom-owned businesses.
100%.
Woo!
Yeah, on board for it. So if you're in, in need of any kind of skincare, especially tallow balm, I'll just rub tallow over my whole body. Love it.
It's so good.
It really is. It truly is. Okay, so today we again are talking about preventing preeclampsia. But before we can prevent or talk about decreasing risk of, we have to kind of understand what the heck we are actually talking about, right? So preeclampsia, it's a disease process in pregnancy. It can come up postpartum as well. That can develop. It's often associated with high blood pressure, and there may be severe headaches, potentially visual disturbances, high levels of protein in your urine, or in like a new development of decreased blood platelets. That's through lab draw, right? Trouble with your kidneys or your liver, or in more advanced cases, there's sometimes fluid in the lungs and signs of brain trouble, in particular seizures. So obviously it can lead all the way to death. Right? It can develop into eclampsia that can bring a mom, it's a very serious issue that we're dealing.
Super serious. And sometimes it comes up absolutely out of nowhere and becomes really severe really quickly. Or sometimes it is just slowly developing over time and we get a couple of clues that it's like impending. And even though it is really serious and needs to be taken really seriously, and I'm sure we'll get some email from somebody at some point that will refute what I'm about to say next, but in general, because of modern medicine, which you don't get to hear me say very often, and because of good prenatal screening, even really bad obstetrical care providers are going to screen for this pretty routinely. The intervention is to induce, and that is usually what cures your preeclampsia. So even though it has really serious implications and can become very serious very quickly, usually we just move forward in a medical setting to stabilize mom and get baby born and everybody is up.
Yes. So this is talking about before it even develops. Or when we're starting to see, like you mentioned, some of those signs, what can we do to start implementing some things to support our systems, bring it back into normal as much as possible? So pathology of preeclampsia, it's technically, like if you were to read up on it, right, it's technically unknown, like where it actually develops from. There are two main theories, though. The first one would be an issue with how the placenta implants, right? And so that's the very beginning of pregnancy, which is pretty wild to think about, but something that happens at that moment can have such a huge impact on what is going on with the rest of your pregnancy. And then the other theory, which actually can be related, but is an insufficiency of the liver, which can cause toxicity in your body. So two theories that potentially can be connected as well. But when we talk about that placenta attaching, most people are like, well, you have no control over that, right? Technically, no, right? Everything is happening so quickly. But to a degree, we actually do. We've actually seen issues arise with things like placental abruptions or some kind of insufficiency that correlates with some of the issues we'll discuss here, but that go on to be remedied or focused on result in healthy subsequent pregnancies. So that's not always the case, right? 100% of the time. Like if that was, we wouldn't do a podcast anymore. We'd be sitting on an island somewhere that we own. surrounded by enormous piles of money.
And since we're not, we're going to try to talk about ways that you can support the systems that are usually at play with toxicity in the body, basically.
Yeah. So if you've had preeclampsia in the past or know someone who has, this information that we'll share is not to say that, like, you didn't do the right thing or that this is your fault or anything like that, right? It's meant to encourage, but just a reminder, like, this is a starting platform for you to then jump off, do some research, start supporting your body. We're not necessarily giving you medical advice here.
Yeah. And the reason that we started sharing on this is because we started implementing some of these concepts with our own clients. So we would take care of women who were pregnant for the second time who had a history of preeclampsia. And they were like, well, that completely threw off everything that I had planned for my birth. And is there anything that I can do in order to prevent that from happening? And we experimented a lot on that. And we have been successful in preventing preeclampsia with all of our clients, but especially those who have a history of preeclampsia.
Yeah. So you touched on something important. A lot of times the moms are coming to us already pregnant and being like, what can I do? So if you have a history of preeclampsia or are concerned about it for whatever reason for a future pregnancy, implementing some of these things and understanding some of your risk factors and making some lifestyle changes before you even conceive would be just a huge plus, because there's so much that can be done with that information and that time to reduce risk in a lot of areas of your health.
Yeah. And one of those things is MTHFR, which is a gene mutation that is prevalent in about 30% of us women, and it can contribute to higher rates of preeclampsia. So if we're looking for mutations in that gene and we find that we have some type of that, which can be discovered with a blood test, then we are already have a leg up on it, because the main issue with MTHFR is methylation and the body having a really hard time utilizing specific nutrients and also metabolizing specific nutrients. MTHFR is responsible for the breakdown of folic acid, which creates folate. And so if you are ingesting enriched grains or enriched anything with folic acid, and you're one of this 30% of people, then you already have the risk factor, right? But if you know that you have MTHFR and you start avoiding folic acid, then you're not creating that toxicity issue in your body. And there's some health conditions and disorders that can result when you don't get enough folate, or when your body is not able to absorb it because you have this gene mutation or a malfunctioning gene. And these mutations are correlated with higher risks of preeclampsia and issues with neural tube complications and even miscarriage. And we see that all in combination in a lot of women's history and picture. So knowing your MTHFR status is a really important piece of just general women's health and fertility and, you know, avoiding complications in birth and et cetera. It's a really important thing to know.
Yeah. So then you're left of like, okay, so how do I figure that out? Right. So there are some home tests available that I discovered recently that are actually pretty well priced, because if you go into a provider, most likely that particular provider is either going to say, no, I'm not going to test for that, or your insurance isn't going to cover it. And it is incredibly expensive out of pocket in that particular situation. So these home tests are actually pretty great. Most of them are like cheek swabs or saliva collections. We personally have a like cash pay co-op situation that we run cash pay labs from, and they charge us $99 for this test, which is about the same that it's running for some of these home tests, which, you know, is a great option in comparison to women who have come in and said, I wanted to find out my status, but my provider was going to charge me like $3,000 to take this test, which is crazy town. So
It's really marked up with insurance for whatever reason. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. I haven't checked on that in a couple of years, but I would say most women should just pay $99 and have it tested privately than to fight with your insurance company about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if for whatever reason it's hard to get a home test, or you're just having trouble getting tests of some kind, you two options, right? You can assume you just have it, right? And just if you're like, I'm probably one of the 30%, or what harm is there in assuming that this mutation is causing me problems? I might as well just make some changes based on that assumption. But you can also pursue homocysteine testing, as high levels of that homocysteine in your system are highly correlated with MTHFR issues and what is going on in your body. So usually the higher those numbers are, we see the symptom picture be problematic for those people.
Yeah. And if you, even if you test positive for MTHFR, you still want to know what your homocysteine levels are, mm-hmm. because that's the indication that you're, you know, having such a difficult time with it.
Yeah. Cause there are plenty of women who have the mutation who have no symptoms, or it doesn't impact this particular part of their lived experience.
Yeah, but have we ever taken care of someone who had preeclampsia in a previous pregnancy and was negative for MTHFR?
Nope.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah, lots of little red flags there. So you can just assume you have it. You can, you know, go ahead and find some testing. But based on that status or assumed status, support for proper methylation and keeping inflammation low with rate changes in diet, kind of targeted supplements, lifestyle modifications, that's going to be your go-to. That's going to be the first, you know, run of support that you can have. Focusing on your gut health so that your, you know, gut health is like whole body health. So the more that you can support that, the better your body is going to be at keeping inflammation down and supporting your detox rhythms, all that good stuff. Like Tiff mentioned earlier, avoiding folic acid in supplements or enriched and fortified foods, it hides in a lot of those things. So once you start being more aware of that, you see all of those usually processed things that you have to just go ahead, you know, move forward and avoid. Anti-inflammatory foods, whole food focused, including things like getting rid of gluten, that even if you've never had a reaction to it in the past, it's very inflammatory for the system for most people. So helpful to just move on past that. Supplements like methylated folate, fish oils, methylated bees, great to add in. It's already done the work for you of that methylation process. And so that just supports your body, helps it absorb it and use it correctly. And then lifestyle stuff like, you know, trying to figure out what kind of things are you putting on and in and around your body that may be disrupting your endocrine system. So getting rid of endocrine disruptors where you can, other toxins just in general in your environment. Your body, you basically have to realize that, like, it, especially this MTHFR situation, your body is taxed already. So being able to decrease that toxic burden where you have the chance to, what you're putting on, what you're putting in your body, what you're doing with your body can help decrease that burden.
Yeah. And just like being aware of how your body detoxes and supporting that and keeping those pathways open and like really focusing on that is going to change so much no matter what it is that you're dealing with, especially if you're having methylation issues because of your MTHFR. And so,
yeah. And say you have a history of preeclampsia or you are, again, concerned about preeclampsia in the future, and you have no idea what your MTHFR status is, and you're like, I don't really want to like think about that at all. Some of the things that you really should be doing would be supporting then, in particular, we talked about some of these ideas behind where preeclampsia can kind of stem from, this theory of pathology. Emphasis on liver support is going to be such an important part of preconception if you're there, but throughout your pregnancy also.
Yeah. And so you want to have like a very specific plan for liver support and be working with a care provider who can give you some guidance on that. We recommend our clients consider herbs like nettles and dandelion, that they do gentle detox rhythms every single day, like dry brushing or Epsom salt baths. Those are safe when you're pregnant. Having intentional daily movement and adequate protein and fiber is hugely important, just to keep bowel movements going, just to support every single system in your body with good protein. Also, making sure that you have these gentle detox pieces, like, you know, keeping other toxins out of your body, implementing lemon water at the beginning of the day, all of those little things you can actually do in pregnancy to support your body's ability to move those toxins out.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are like, well, I can't really like do the detoxes while I'm pregnant. So they just sort of assume that they can't really do anything. But all of these things are gentle, yet very powerful and effective and can help really decrease that burden on your body. There's some great research too about yoga, like or like just an even general intentional stretching daily being correlated with a decrease in preeclampsia as well. So the idea that like intentional daily movement needs to be something so intense is actually wrong, right? You can simply just be walking and connecting with your body and stretching and all those good things. And there's positive outcomes with that.
Okay, so women are like, that's fine. I can do all those things, whatever. How do I know if my pregnancy is, if any of this is actually helping, if I'm moving forward healthfully, or if it's all just going to come to a screeching halt in the third trimester again?
Yeah, and that's just the worst, because you want to be able to happily do the things and then be like, I feel like what I'm doing is making a difference. And sometimes some of these gentle things, right? I'm eating a ton of protein, I'm hydrating well, I'm moving my body, I'm doing what I quote, like I'm supposed to be doing. One of the things that we do to screen for women who have had preeclampsia or for whatever reason have some kind of, you know, metabolic function of some kind that we're like, hey, we'd like to keep an eye on this, would be to do an in-depth liver panel in every single trimester. That's going to monitor that metabolic function. It's going to catch any liver insufficiency signs early. So we do that at our first visit. We do that some point in the second trimester, some point again in the third trimester. We get a really good baseline and then start to say, okay, some of these things are actually flagging already. Let's work on that. And then we can follow up to see, hey, look at this. It's actually working. Or, hey, look, we need to add a few more things in as we approach, you know, the rest of your pregnancy or as we approach the end of your pregnancy. So it may be something that you need to push for, but absolutely asking for it and honestly demanding it as part of just your medical care would be huge. So a complete metabolic panel, a really in-depth liver panel, those would be like the baseline of what to ask for and what to assess. And again, I feel like not every provider always gives feedback on when somebody gets labs done, unless things are so out of whack. My sister-in-law being one who was like, for sure anemic, had no idea until she showed me her labs when I asked her because she was having all of these symptoms. And I was like, bro, your person should have, you know, spoken to you about this. So this would be something that like you want to see the results for if you need extra support or just want to have somebody else looking at them alongside you. That would absolutely be worth it.
Yeah. And we do consults for that. If somebody wants to just get their labs read by a compassionate care provider who can look at the numbers and tell you what that means. But we also have done these types of blood work panels on clients who don't have a history of preeclampsia, but something is coming up in their pregnancy, like their blood pressure starts creeping up, or they're having weird symptoms, or a little bit of swelling, or, you know, just excessive fatigue, or way more stress in this pregnancy than usual for them, or whatever. And so we're thinking, let's just check and see how your liver is doing with the burden of what this pregnancy seems to be on you. And we catch things all the time that are just slightly outside of normal range from a functional perspective. And then we have like a very serious heart-to-heart with our clients on like, you for the sake of staying low risk, you have to jump on board with some of these things. And they do, because they're very invested in the outcome, and they turn stuff around, things that for sure would have turned into some kind of complication, preeclampsia or cholestasis or some kind of like crazy, you know, rash system like pups or something like that. All of that, it can all kind of go into this toxic burden basket of how your body is able to metabolize these things. And it doesn't just have to be preeclampsia that we're trying to prevent.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've just seen incredible results with this general protocol. So what we have shared should not be, oh my gosh, that's so intense. Oh my gosh, that's so involved. What you should say or like see is, wow, that is really taking care of my body and this system from a very foundational space. Because as we know, and as we talk about in pretty much any topic that we talk about on here, is that when we actually do that, when we actually support some of that root cause foundational stuff with our health, the rest of our body just responds in kind and is like, thank you for taking care of me. And so the fact that we see such positive result with women implementing these things, both who have stuff going on with some of that first trimester blood work or not, right? It's it's pretty incredible because there's just in other models of care, this type of information is not given whatsoever. And what you are usually given is just simply because we know people will ask about it, talk about it. Most women are just told, take a baby aspirin and go on your way, and we'll hope that that helps you out.
Yeah. And like, of course, there is great evidence for its efficacy. We'll find that out there. That's why it becomes the recommendation. Unfortunately, we don't have research to support our holistic view and protocol. And so that's why the aspirin thing gets pushed. And I know that a lot of people are going to have that question. Unfortunately, it just can't get touched on in an adequate way in this podcast or in a podcast at all. There's so many pros and cons to be weighing out. Should you take aspirin every single day of your pregnancy? And it's individual. So it's something that you're going to have to do a little bit more research on and discuss with your care provider.
Yeah, for sure. So we just think that this information, just like how foundational it is, it should really be foundational elsewhere. It should really be the bare minimum of what you deserve from your care, from your pregnancy experience, all of the information, all of the support laid out for you. So yeah, I mean, we can't control every single outcome of pregnancy, but we can exert whatever control we can over some of the controllable things, right, in our lives, provide our bodies really the optimal functioning foundation. So that was our heart in sharing some of these things. You may probably have been told there's really nothing you can do, and we'll just sort of cross our fingers and hope everything goes okay. But really, there are these things that you can start implementing in your life today to kind of reduce that risk, or at the very least, support your body well, right? And so that's what we hope for you.
Yes. And I mean, prevention is where midwifery care absolutely shines. And this is a part of our focus in our first ever childbirth education class. And we are sharing that with the ladies who jumped into our beta class already. It's a holistic childbirth education approach to the healthiest pregnancy and birth and postpartum possible. And it's all from our midwifery lens. We're currently building this course out with our beta group and preparing to help those ladies meet their babies this summer. But we're also kind of creating our own little baby with this class, which we're also hoping to launch sometime this summer. And we want you guys to be in on that with us too. So there's a link in the show notes for a wait list for ladies who want more from their pregnancy and childbirth education, more information like what we shared in this episode today. And you also get access to exclusive content and information while you wait on the wait list. And you can find that inside of our show notes or at beautifulonemidwifery.com.
We hope we see you there on the wait list, in the class, on Instagram, on our blog. There's so many ways to connect with us.
On our reviews.
On our 5-star reviews.
On our five, if you listen to this entire episode and it gave you any insight at all, leave us a quick review.
Yes, please. Only 5-star ones, though.
No 4-stars.
Yeah, read that one. Okay, we will catch you next week, ladies.
Bye.